We're going to come up with a title for this next portion of the program. Let's call it Greening Wisconsin's Workforce, Training, Recovery, and the Clean Energy Economy. How's that for a title? Sarah White, our guest today, a senior associate with the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. It's known as COWS, and the center is it's a nonprofit. It's nonpartisan. It's a think and do tank, they like to call it, think and do. And it's dedicated to improving economic performance and living standards in Wisconsin. It's based at the University of Wisconsin and works to promote high road strategies and support living wages, environmental sustainability, strong communities, and public accountability. So that's a lot. It's a lot, Sarah. Well, and we're going to talk with her about that, about Greening Wisconsin and green jobs, and get your input too at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. And the email address is talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Sarah, it's great to have you with us as well, Sarah White.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Love to have you here. And COWS. How did COWS get going, by the way?
Oh, COWS was started a couple decades ago by our director, Joel Rogers, who is a professor at the university mm-hmm. and a national expert on energy and labor policy and had been very active. He teaches in the law school, the political mm-hmm. science department, and the sociology department.
So he's a busy guy, too.
He's a very busy guy, yes.
Well, I tell you, there was a recent report from the center, mm-hmm. and well, tell us about that report. That was encouraging Wisconsin to embrace this the potential that we have. Talk about it a little bit.
Okay. Well, we did this report about a year ago, actually. We did a mm-hmm. national report called Greener Pathways, looking at jobs and workforce mm-hmm. development in the clean energy economy. And as you know, in the past year, the whole green jobs movement has exploded, and everybody's talking about it. And we find that oftentimes, people aren't quite sure what they're talking about when they're talking green.
Right.
So we said, let's take a look at the state of Wisconsin and what are the opportunities here for green jobs and for economic development. And we're really tremendously excited. I mean, obviously, we're in a time of terrible economic downturn. But there are three issues, really, that we hope that building a green economy can be part of the answer to. One of those is energy independence, which I think everyone is mm-hmm. interested in, both in the country and in Wisconsin specifically.
Yes.
And the other is climate disruption, or simply the understanding that we're coming to some of the limits of the carrying capacity of our planet. And the other is economic opportunity. And those are things that I think all Wisconsinites are interested in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially in these times. And why is Wisconsin pretty well placed for this?
Wisconsin's in a tremendous position for a number of reasons. First of all, we have a traditional manufacturing workforce, which is something we could perhaps talk about later during this interview. And surprisingly, people might be surprised to know that really a great opportunity in the green economy will be in rebuilding the manufacturing capacity of the industrial Midwest, with Wisconsin one of the clear leaders there.
So that's manufacturing capacity, yeah. Actually, as I think about it, we've lost a lot of jobs in manufacturing, but here we have all these people who are trained and maybe with some reach, a certain amount of retraining can take up that role again.
Absolutely. And I think that not only do we have a highly skilled workforce in Wisconsin, but part of the reason that we are so well situated to take advantage of the green economy is because of a few of the systems that we have in place here. For example, our technical college system and our apprenticeship system are mm-hmm. both really some of the best in
some
the
good,
nation.
Really good.
Uh-huh. And we also have a series of regional partnership networks, such as the Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership out of mm-hmm. Milwaukee, which brings together technical colleges, community organizations, governments, and businesses at the same table to try and figure out some of the solutions moving ahead. And I think that those kinds of partnerships are going to be essential to economic growth around the country. And here in Wisconsin, we're used as a national model for building those kinds of partnerships.
So where are the green jobs? What are let's talk about that.
Well, you know, our hope is that all jobs will be greener jobs. But that's one of the problems of talking about green jobs is that, you know, what you and I are doing right now, this conversation, we'd be considered by many people to be the part of our jobs that is green because we're working to do something to better the environmental situation of the planet. We like to focus more specifically on the clean energy economy. There's all kinds of jobs that are available. But I think in the clean energy economy, we're talking about a number of sectors. Wind power, solar power, mass transit, energy efficiency, alternative fuels and vehicles. And in all of these industries, some of which are new, we find really traditional occupations. So the jobs might be, you know, a pipe fitter, an insulator, a construction worker, a truck driver, a receptionist. They're all jobs that we know and in many cases just perhaps need a little bit of skill development to put in the green portion of that job.
Yeah. Sarah White, our guest, as we talk about greening Wisconsin's workforce, I wonder if you're involved in a green industry or if you have some questions about it. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Give us an email or give us a call, and we'll be glad to talk with you. Now, you mentioned the VOTEC and that sort of thing, but I think there are quite a few jobs that one could consider with college degrees as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there are tremendous opportunity in this economy, and there's going to be a lot of, you know, PhDs and engineers and architects and doctors involved in this effort. And, you know, the evidence from, you know, Wisconsin building its new Institute of Discovery and its new biofuel center, this is a tremendous moment for research. One of the things that we've found, though, is that the vast majority of jobs that will be generated or retained by green economic initiatives will be jobs that are of the associate degree or journey tradesperson level. So in other words, requiring more than a high school degree, but less than a four-year college degree, which means we have a chance for all kinds of people to enter this labor market and take advantage of the new opportunities.
And what about these kinds of training programs? Are there training programs out there?
There are lots and lots of training programs. There are some specific renewable energy training programs, about 8 or 9 of them right now at the technical colleges. Perhaps the flagship program is at Lakeshore Tech, which does a wind training program, which is phenomenal. I think more significantly, though, you find hundreds of courses throughout the technical college system that are integrated into, you know, construction training, HVAC, auto techs who need to know how to work on hybrid electric cars, electricians who will need the basis of thermodynamics in order to work on wind turbines. So you have classes throughout the system. We also have a very a model apprenticeship system, which is training folks in the building trades, which will be essential in energy efficiency retrofit work, for example.
Yeah, and I think Wisconsin is pretty well known for that particular system.
Absolutely. Yes, we're the first in the nation, and we are held up around the country as a leader in our apprenticeship standards and our apprenticeship pathways. We would like to see those strengthened and expanded and made more accessible to a lot more folks, but it's the best training program around, really.
Well, let's take some calls. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Peter in Bayfield. Peter, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter.
Good morning. I just wanted to share some thoughts here. I would consider my job to be green. I work with apple growers up here in Bayfield and throughout the rest of the state, monitoring pest populations in their orchards to help them reduce their chemical inputs. And so, you know, in a traditional orchard setting, sprays were done basically on a calendar method. And now we are learning about the orchard ecology and assessing pest populations and making management decisions based upon a population threshold. And the demand for this has created a new job, which I am currently doing.
You know, I'd call that a green job.
That is fabulous. That is a green job, and it's an important one, too. I think that we're seeing an explosion of needed interest and movement in green chemistry, in sustainable agriculture, in both of these issues, and, you know, issues of health for farm workers. These are tremendously important green things. What we look at is we're looking more specifically at green energy, not in the ag sector, except perhaps biomass. And that's simply because with scarce federal and state resources, we have to decide where the volume of jobs going to be that we want to train people for. So yes, this is a green job. This is terrific. And we'd be interested, in fact, to talk to more people in your field to see what the need for training is and what the potential growth is.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate the call very much. And let's go to Cheryl in Lancaster. Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I understand that Wisconsin is well set for training people for green jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking specifically of Janesville. I know that a lot of the people that worked at the General Motors plant there have been given lots of opportunities for retraining in, for example, installing solar panels.
Hmm.
The problem that I see is how do we create the demand for those solar panels?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do we come up with jobs for these people once they're trained?
You know, that's a very, very good question, and we'll take it up in just a minute as we visit with Sarah White. So you stay listening, Cheryl, because we definitely want to talk about that as we visit with Sarah White, a senior associate with the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, known as COWS, about greening Wisconsin's workforce. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking about greening Wisconsin's workforce today with Sarah White, senior associate with the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, also known as COWS. And they're looking at strategies to get some green jobs out there, give folks a living wage, be environmentally sustainable in this state, have some strong communities, and some good public accountability as well. That's what COWS is all about. So as we visit with her, you can join in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. And we had a call from Cheryl who said, okay, we've got some good training programs out there, but then how do we create a demand for these green products?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Cheryl, this is a great question. And to my mind, it goes to the heart of the whole question. It might be called the $700 billion question. And one of the things that COWS believes in sort of all sectors and certainly in the emerging green sector is that you have to start with the jobs. To train people in a career where there's not a job at the end is a disservice to workers and a disservice to the training programs in the state of Wisconsin. So absolutely. So one thing that we really encourage, this is why when I talked about training partnerships at the beginning, it's just absolutely critical that tech colleges work with employers in their communities and the state and community organizations so that we're really getting employer input on what are the jobs that are out there, what are the skills that are needed to, in fact, do those jobs. And until we have that dialogue going on, and in many cases, the technical colleges are doing a terrific job at this. It's also why apprenticeships work so well, right? Because we're specifically filling the needs of the employers. But I think, yes, to start with the jobs. And one other point on this to look at the macro side is simply that this is why state policies to drive demand, to drive these industries are so critical. A renewable portfolio standard, for example, creates a safe market for wind development that we might want to build more wind farms. So the kinds of policies we can put in place at the state level are very important to drive the markets that are necessary to create these jobs.
Well, Anton in Madison is online, been waiting a while. Thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having the conversation today.
Sure.
What struck me was that I can name at least one industry that I'm really familiar with that very sorely needs trained people to do a lot of things in, and that is in what we geeks call data centers, where of all businesses that I can think of, we're probably closer and more analogous to industrial types of power consumption, and then also requisite is cooling needs in these in this particular industry.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the problems we're facing today, I can tell you as an owner of one, that we just can't find the qualified service staff we would want, perhaps, for a very high-end, let's say, a new breed type of hardware that does effective cooling. For instance, we're looking at some space abroad in New York and also internationally, and the leading-edge systems today are using liquid carbon dioxide to do very high-density cooling. And the challenge is finding anyone who knows how to work with the stuff.
Hmm.
Plenty
hmm.
of documentation, lots of engineers who can design it, but what do you do then? You know, you deploy it, and then what? So we're looking at all these attractive, very low-cost, very green technologies. Again, mm-hmm. you know, CO2 is far better than any chlorofluorocarbon I can think of in terms of environmental impact if it were, let's say, released or systems were damaged at some point. We want to use this new-edge stuff, but we're just having a hard time coming to grips with the reality of the operational aspects after the fact.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point I wanted to launch to you, and maybe that provides mm-hmm. color to maybe a certain pocket that we're not thinking about in terms of operational stuff, not just cranking out solar cells and products for end consumers.
Making some good points there. Sarah, comments?
Yeah, it's a terrific question, and I really think that it brings up a number of key points. One of the things that you're speaking about is really industrial efficiency and the kinds of technologies that are needed both on the residential side, the commercial side, and the industrial side for heating and cooling simply. And this is the low-hanging fruit of the clean energy economy, not renewables. Renewables are incredibly important. That's the supplying mm-hmm. the energy. But to lower the demand side on the energy is energy efficiency. Buildings use 40% of our energy. Most people don't know that. So doing the kinds of the caller's talking about a new process, but in many mm-hmm. cases taking existing facilities and retrofitting them so that they are more efficient will make them not only economically competitive in an increasingly constrained carbon economy, but will also make sense for the business in terms of its environmental policy. I think in this case, you're seeing a classic skill shortage. And it's funny because we don't hear this as much given the economic downturn. But what happens in these cases typically is that the employers will work with the technical colleges or with the unions to figure out what exactly is the training that you need to fill these slots, because we have lots of skilled workers in Wisconsin, and then we have businesses who need workers, and there's a mismatch there. Less so, certainly now in the times of economic downturn, but this is a case where a nimble training institution like a technical college needs to step in and get the right workers trained and matched up for these jobs.
So somebody like Anton go right straight to MATC or the technical colleges and with that request?
What we really like to see is yes, but to build an industry partnership where you'd have Anton and other employers like him in a related business work together with the community colleges, with the state, with community groups, and figure out what's the best training platform to supply trained workers for this.
But if you need them right now.
If you need them right now. But the trick is to address it on an industry-wide scale and not just go business by business, because then we're more efficient.
Gotcha. Megan in Eau Claire, on to you now. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thank you. I want a green job, and I'm going to be graduating in December with my major's environmental public health, and I have a minor in biology and minor in chemistry. And I'm having a hard time finding something in Wisconsin, like locally to Eau Claire, for a green job. And I was looking for a summer job to kind of lead me into graduation, and I'm having a hard time finding one.
Yeah, that's a tough. It's tough for college graduates everywhere, I think. And you know, folks, the right now in the economic downturn, it's a hard time for anyone to find a job. But we're finding not just people in your position, but also where there are many, many, many more jobs. Even in, for example, construction, manufacturing, those folks who have had those jobs for many, many years are out of work now too. So sit tight and good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's always a tough thing. And I'm hoping, by the way, Megan, that you're looking through your department where you graduated from, and you're also looking at the jobs through the UW-Eau Claire. I'm sure they have set up similar to UW-Madison. In my own department, for example, I probably send out 50-100 job announcements a week to my alums and former and current students and internships. I hope your department is doing the same for you.
Wow, you're a one-man HR shop. That's
great. Well, we tried it. You know, that's one. And you know, sometimes students don't think to go. I just sort of automatically send it out. But some students don't think about that. And you need to do that. Tom in Boscobel, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. I just found the show very timely. I'm sitting at my computer right now writing a business plan.
Oh,
excellent.
Home weatherization.
Yep.
I'm a displaced construction worker, new home builder.
Great.
25 plus years.
Yep.
I had to lay off many, many people and then was laid off myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm writing this business plan. I know of an endless pool of guys that can do this work.
Yep.
And with minimal training, I know Wisconsin has some great programs for the elderly and low-income people, but I'm looking at a niche of people that can't afford the services and don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm kind of on the right track, and do you have any resources that could help me?
You're absolutely on the right track, and you're right that the vast amounts of federal dollars that are coming into the state for and other states for weatherization in many cases are targeted at low-income families. But there is a need for residential retrofitting for folks who don't meet the cutoff for that. And these are, in many cases, people who might be able to afford such changes. But as you know, in many cases, they don't know where to start. It's a very confusing marketplace, which is a question that economists always ask, right? Like, if this is going to save you a bunch of money and help the planet, why isn't anyone doing it? And the question is, you know, it's really hard to navigate that marketplace. One of the things that we are trying to push ahead is that COWS has a number of city-level energy-efficient retrofit on the residential side programs that we're looking at launching in Milwaukee, Racine, and possibly Madison. And the idea here is to do an on-bill financing mechanism in order to help folks, you know, get the capital to do these sorts of projects. There will obviously be more work on the commercial side, but our main hope is to see this go at a city-by-city level rather than house-by-house or even neighborhood-by-neighborhood, because we need to do it to scale.
And in terms of, you know, you're starting up your business here, I don't know to what extent you have contacted the Small Business Development Center. There's one at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. There's one at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. People who can really help you plan your business and get your business on. That's sort of an aside to the, no, it's not really. It's an important part of it. And I wanted to put in a big plug for those folks around the state. Somebody kind of poo-pooed them on the show one day, and I kind of let them get away with that. And that was the wrong thing for me to do. I should have been standing right up for those centers because the university people do a wonderful job.
At University of Platteville. And they have been a big help to me.
It's wonderful.
But I was looking, is there any resources that you guys, either one of you could think of that I could follow up with a business plan? Any help would be...
Are you thinking financial now, Tom? Or?
No. Educational and how do we educate people that they need this service?
Oh, you're looking at how do you market your service to...
Absolutely, yes.
You should have been able to get some of that from the Platteville people. I'm surprised that...
No, but there's a lot of public education that needs to go on about energy efficiency, and especially in times of economic downturn, people are thinking, you know, people do need more information about that. That is exactly true, and that's why we're hoping that, you know, that states and cities can really step in and help do some of that public awareness. And part of the issue of that will be helping people access the capital they need to do it.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks a lot for calling, Tom. Appreciate it. And good luck with that new business. I would go back to Platteville and ask them a little bit more about that if I were you, because I'm pretty sure they've got some information there on marketing your product, too. You can join in, too, by the way, with your questions as we talk about greening our workforce here in Wisconsin. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or, again, you could email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Eric in Milwaukee next. Eric, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the topic. My question is twofold, I guess. And so far as green income opportunities or jobs and so forth, there's, I'm curious how to acquire a certification to consult a resident how to deploy solar energy or wind on their property. That's one. And then secondly, how to acquire certification on consulting someone from going from conventional consumable household products to products that are friendlier to the home environment inside, mm-hmm. as well as friendlier to the exterior environment in our neighborhood. So it's on one hand dealing with, you know, energy and so forth, consulting, not necessarily installing, but maybe verifying it was installed correctly or what have you. And on the second hand, just those regular monthly, weekly products that we regularly consume, how to require certification for consulting people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. That's a huge question. The question of certification is enormous because we find that at training institutions around the state and around the country, there's a lot of disagreement on what a certification is and who agrees with it and mm-hmm. what it means. You might get it at one institution and it means something to one employer and something to somebody else. What we do know is that there are groups in Wisconsin like the Midwest Regional Energy Association.
Renewable Energy Association.
Sorry, we just had a discussion about that name. And they do trainings to help folks learn how to be a site assessor for solar, for example, and wind. And they do certification. There is a national certification, which they train folks for as well. I think that you know, when you talk about assessing a solar site, and you were mentioning perhaps going in after something had been installed, really for installing solar, we're talking in many cases about highly trained electricians, and the codes that govern electric install would govern this in many cases. So you're talking about city codes and certifications that are traditional to that industry. As well as the solar industry has their own certifications. In many cases, we're talking about going through an apprenticeship prep program, perhaps to learn some of the installation trades, which has, again, if you go through an apprenticeship program, then you're having a journey level certification. But that is for the installation and construction, less so than the assessing afterwards.
Just as Sarah was talking here, Eric, I went to the – I just typed in MREA, Midwest Renewable Energy Association, and up popped their website. And one of the things on the website is education and training. So you might just go to that website. And our energy website, our Energy Star – wow, why am I just blanking on the name of that website? Jim will get it. Remind me of it.
The Focus on Energy.
Focus on Energy. FocusOnEnergy.com would be another place to go to find out that kind of information as well. So MREA, Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Focus on Energy. Go to that website as well, and I think you might find some information that's useful for you. I should mention, by the way, that we will be at the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair, and that is in the month of June, and I'm blanking on the date, but I think it's the third week of June, somewhere in there. We'll be broadcasting pretty much all day from the fair with a whole bunch of programs. Myself, I'll be there, Gene Faraca, Ben Marins, there'll be a lot of us there. To Veronica Rickert is going to be doing a show, and it's June 19th. We'll be there all day on June 19th, pretty much doing our programs from there. So,
you know, I wanted to bring up one other point in response to this caller, if I may.
Yeah,
also,
go right ahead.
The issue of green products for the house is an enormous issue, and people often think that these are sort of luxury questions for people who can afford to do this. But I think one thing we think about when we think about the workforce, if we think about who in our economy, in many cases, has the least representation and who are most affected by these issues, if we think about domestic workers, for example, mm-hmm. people who are cleaning houses around this mm-hmm. country who are the most exposed to a lot of these toxic chemicals, which is an issue of both training and access to better equipment and better supplies. And that's a huge issue that will need to be tackled in the next few years.
And we'll turn again to another caller, Louie and Kadat this time. Louie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Well, my question is, well, I guess my, to introduce myself, I'm a retired plumber, and I have recently installed solar heating panels in a house in a new home in Willard, and it's working beautifully. It's actually providing heat for two homes.
Great.
Right. So, but now I would like to do that in my own home, but I'm retired and I lack the financial ability, and I just wonder if I could get, if you know of any way I could get financing to help myself to buy the materials to install the same kind of system in my own home.
Again, I think if you go to the Focus on Energy website, lists all of the incentives. Many of them are in forms of match or tax credits that are available to you to do this.
So go to focusonenergy.com, and I know there are sometimes when you're retired, the tax breaks are little or no use. But
yeah.
But there are other there could be some other things for you, and that is really the place I'd go to find out what's there. Thanks very much for calling. We have some other emails. Gina in Milwaukee wondered about whether or not you have any suggestions for a graphic designer seeking a green-based career path.
Huh, that's an interesting question. I'm sure there are green elements, both in the process of that work, what kind of office do you work in, as well as are you applying your graphic design talents towards a green end? I'm not really sure what sorts of public training resources we would direct towards greening graphic design industry, although I'm sure there's a lot of folks who could help us out with that.
And the reports you have on your website, you have many reports that I think could be of use to people, either people looking, starting a new career, starting a new business perhaps, that could be useful. Talk a little bit about some of those reports that you have.
Sure. We do a report every year, every other year, actually, it's updated each year called the State of Working Wisconsin, which really gives a great overview of what the jobs are in Wisconsin, what wages are like, what employment and labor markets look like. On the green thing specifically, we have any number of reports, but as I mentioned, we have the Greener Pathways report, which really outlines how we identify green jobs and the training resources that are out there. We have the report that just came out called Greening Wisconsin's Workforce, which really looks at some state policy measures that could drive job creation and job training, and specifically talks about some of the technical college programs coming out early this summer. We're doing a report with the Apollo Alliance, which really maps training pathways in the state for green jobs in the clean energy industry, both through community programs, apprenticeship prep, and apprenticeship. In the early fall, we're working now with some partners on a paper looking at the various kinds of certifications that one of the callers mentioned, to try and work our way through this soup of standards, which we could really help, you know, sort of codify and clarify to help both consumers, as another caller talked, to help trainers, to help employers, and to help workers, talking about some kind of portable credential, which means the same thing in all places. And that will be coming out, we hope, September, October.
And an easy website to remember, as a matter of fact, too, cows.org, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. We are cows.
All right. Sarah, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it very much.
And I encourage your callers to go to cows if they want more information, or contact us if they have questions.
All right. Wonderful. Sarah White is Senior Associate with the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, known as COWS, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. So take a look at their website. Lots of good information there. Go to cows.org, and you will find the information. Hopefully, you'll find the information you're looking for. If you're not, I'm sure you can probably address some questions right off the website to people, and they can probably find some answers for you. Coming up tomorrow, boy, everybody's interested. A lot of people are interested in gardening. I shouldn't say everybody, but I tell you what, Garden Talk every Friday, and this Friday, we've got Laura Jell and Brian Huddleston on the air, and they'll be talking with us about all sorts of plantings for your garden. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.